Thank you, Lance. Good morning, everyone. Just before we get into the word this morning, just some family news amongst us. Anne and Adrian Clues, Anne, who led us in communion. Where's Anne gone? Oh, right there. This is their last Sunday with us here at Encounter Church. Yeah. So Anne and Adrian are moving out to near where they live, out to Ellenbrook Baptist Church. They feel that God is calling them out there to serve and love the people in their local area out there. So Anne and Adrian, bless you. Thank you so much for your fellowship with us, for all the love and the ministry that you have quietly just ministered amongst us. We're going to miss you, but we really know that God has good things that he has planned for you to do out in Ellenbrook near where you live. So go with our blessing, go with our love. You're always going to be a part of our family. So, yeah, take the opportunity to thank them. Catch up with them before they leave this morning over coffee. All right, let's get into the word this morning. Holy Spirit, please come and speak to us in your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, back in the year 2000, I received this special invitation to have morning tea with the Prime Minister of Australia, Mr. Howard, at his Kirribilli house in Sydney. Now, this is my one life flex. This is the only really exciting thing that's ever happened to me. So please forgive me that I do revisit this story. I will run out eventually, so take heart. But I was the pediatric nurse accompanying 50 kids who were suffering from cancer, and we took them on a special trip to the Sydney Olympics. And this invitation came as a part of that trip. But I remember the bus ride to Kirribilli House. There was an atmosphere of resistance amongst the adult leaders. Not everyone on the bus is pro Mr. Howard. There's all kinds of mocking and judgment. If you've ever seen caricatures of Mr. Howard, there's the assumption that he'll be stuffy, that he'll be awkward, unrelatable. And for many, this invitation to be with him is just a duty to endure. But what happens through the morning is very interesting. We settle into something special. Kirribilli House is like a gift of time and space amidst the busyness and the crowds of the Olympics. But most surprising is the enjoyment of presence and time with Mr. and Mrs. Howard. And even the most resistant amongst our leaders are swept into an unexpected delight, I'd say. And the atmosphere on the bus going home is completely different. We're looking at spiritual practices over these next few weeks, practices that invite us into God's presence. It's the best invitation you'll ever receive, even better than having morning tea with the Prime Minister. Tim Keller calls spiritual practices grace practices. There's a special grace that comes upon us when we intentionally spend time with God. Last week, Pete talked about prayer. If you missed that, you can catch up on that on the website through the sermon podcast. I suggest having a listen. It's a good sermon. Today, we're looking into the practice of meditation with God in the Word. We've been created for meditation, for deep thought, for intimacy with God, for inner formation as we encounter His Spirit in His Word. And the invitation for you and me today is to come away and spend time with God in His Word. But for all kinds of reasons, we resist the invitation to come away with God in His Word. A bit like the guys on the bus that morning going to the Prime Minister's house, we might see being in the Word as the dutiful, dry, kind of work-related part of our Christian life. Or maybe we have resistance to the concept of meditation, as I even use the word, because we associate it with the New Age or Eastern spiritual religious practices where emptying the mind to open yourself up to anything is more the vibe. But meditation is a practice that we need to reclaim as Christians, because meditation is God's design to bless us and to fill our hearts and minds with him. But there's a more insidious resistance to meditation in our time. And Christian authors have been sounding the alarm that we're losing the skill of slow, quiet, thoughtful meditation with God in Scripture. And this is eroding our spiritual depth. It's eroding our well-being as God's people. And we're missing the delights and the blessing that comes from meditation. Recent research warns that we're being swept along with the culture of our time. I wonder if any of this resonates with you. This is what the research says. Christians are assimilating to a culture of busyness, hurry, constant noise, distraction, and information overload, which leads to a deteriorating relationship with God, which leads to Christians being even more vulnerable to adopting secular assumptions about how to live, which leads to more conformity to a culture of busyness, hurry, noise, distraction, and overload. So we end up as good people, but as people who are not very deep. Not bad, just busy. Not immoral, just distracted. Not lacking in soul, just preoccupied. Not disdaining depth, just never doing the things that get us there. Do you ever feel that inner uneasiness, that there's a way of life richer and deeper than your current experience? I'm going to suggest this morning that that is the Spirit calling you, calling me, to come away and spend time with Father, Son, and Spirit. The Scriptures talk about deep, calling to deep. That's God calling to us. That's our soul longing for Him. The psalmists, they express this longing that we have deep in our hearts. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God, my soul thirsts for you. Or this psalm, come and talk with me, says God. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. The practice of meditation meets us in our deepest heart and life longings. And there's promise and there's blessing for one who makes meditation in the Word a rhythm of life. So this morning, let's open up to Psalm 1. This is a significant psalm because it sets up the entire prayer book of Psalms. We often land in Psalm 1 at different times in the year because it is just that. Is significant. We have to take notice. Psalm 1. Let's read together. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Psalm 1 sets the tone for the whole prayer book of Psalms. It starts with promise. The one who meditates, who attends to God's presence in the Word, is a person of substance, not shallow, is a person of stability, not tossed around, is a person of wisdom, not foolishness, is one who lives in the Lord's ways, not aimless through life, is a life that is fruitful and eternal. It's not meaningless and temporary. And through the following 149 psalms, the psalmists go on and talk about every possible life experience we can imagine. Grief, joy, victory, defeat, disappointment, betrayal, sin, you name it, it's talked about in the psalms. And the one who meditates in the Word is blessed and marked by God's presence through it all. The one who meditates in this psalm is a beautiful picture of a tree planted near a stream. This tree is intentionally positioned so its roots are always drawing from the stream. It's not dependent on conditions for its well-being. The promise in this first psalm is the presence of God in His Word with us in every moment of life. This is what the psalm is not promising. It's not a picture of just a beautiful green tree and lush surroundings all the time. It's not a picture of meditate, put in some good spiritual practices, and you'll be rewarded with an easier life. Spiritual practices are never about earning from God or trying to twist His arm by doing the right thing to get something from Him. Spiritual practices are always about His presence, about relationship, about intimacy with God. So when conditions are green and lush, when we're winning at life, all the ducks are lined up in a row, the one who meditates draws from God's presence in His Word. And when the conditions are dry, when they're rough, when it feels barren, when life is hard, when things go pear-shaped, the one who meditates draws from God's presence in His Word. The tree planted near the stream can weather any conditions because it's always drawing from the source of life. The one who meditates is planted in the Word of God, drawing from the source of love and peace and hope and wisdom and comfort and joy. There's so much promise in this first psalm that we have to recognize and take hold of. But there's also warning in this first psalm. When we live without Jesus, or try and live off a shallow connection with Jesus, I'm going to say, without time with Him in His Word, the psalmist doesn't hold back with the warning, we'll be like chaff. And chaff is the husk around the kernel of grain. It has no life or weightiness. It just flakes off the kernel in the wind. I don't know a lot about chaff. I wish Neil was here. He'd be able to explain it to us better. But it's a confronting picture of life lived with no real substance or depth or truth. A chaffy life gets tossed around by circumstances and conditions and emotions and people and culture and by the world's atmosphere. A chaffy life is kind of grasping for meaning and significance and love, but disconnected from the source of all these things. This very first psalm says, be like the tree. Be like the tree, planted by the stream, drawing from the source of life. And the practice of meditation is this. It's intentionally positioning ourselves in the source of life, in the Word of God. It's a discipline of pressing pause on the noise, the hurry, the kind of quick grab pace of our times, and settling into God's presence in His Word. It's like an active resistance meditation to the chaffy things that we all get sucked into at different times. The one who meditates in the Word drinks deeply of God's love, lives more and more as a deeply, dearly loved person in life, is guided by truth and wisdom, is maturing and forming into the likeness of Jesus, produces good fruit in the valley walks and on the mountaintop highs. The one who meditates experiences increasing delight and intimacy with Father, Son, and Spirit. And the one who meditates becomes like a refreshing shade. Imagine that tree, refreshing shade in this chaffy world. I was having a blood test the other day, and I was trying to distract myself as much as anything. So I say to the lady, how's your day going? And she literally spills out her life in the few minutes that it takes to draw blood. Maybe I had a lot of blood to take that day. But she tells me about her recent cancer journey. She tells me about her sister's just diagnosed with bone cancer. She tells me about all her sadness. She's like, I'm overwhelmed. There's grief. And then she stops and she says, why am I telling you all of this? Why? And so, of course, I take the opportunity to tell her about Jesus. Jesus loves you. Jesus is the only one I know who can journey this journey with you. You know, when you meditate in God's word and you encounter his presence in his word, you become a carrier of his word and his presence everywhere you go. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To be shade in this chaffy world. Without the word and the presence of God in our hearts, all we have to offer to people's brokenness around us is kind of just chaffy sentiment. That's all we have to offer. But Jesus says, you are shade in this world. There's blessing and promise commanded over the one who meditates. I love how the message puts this first psalm. You thrill to God's word. You chew on scripture day and night. You're a tree replanted in Eden. I love this. Replanted in Eden in this chaffy, dry world. I'm going to say that meditation is an essential practice for God's people. If we're going to grow in intimacy with Father, Son, and Spirit, we have to spend time in His Word. Life change only happens in us when His truth and His love are integrated into our inner being. And this happens as we encounter and attend to God in His Word. No other way. So let's reflect honestly this morning. What place does meditation have in your life? When do you come away and spend time with God in His Word? This is not for guilt or pride. Oh yes, I'm wonderful, or woe is me. This is for our well-being. It's for our well-being. It's for our life. Sometimes we don't know where to start with a practice like meditation. I've just been at the Soul Care Conference with a group of you guys. We had a wonderful time, by the way. Jesus is amazing how He meets us at different times in our lives. But I was with a lady at Soul Care this week and she said, I don't know how to be still and spend time with God and His Word. She's been a Christian for a while. So let's understand more about meditation. Meditation is about presence before it's about anything else. Still, quiet, undistracted, unhurried, unplugged time with Father, Son, and Spirit in the Word without any real agenda other than being in His presence. The key to meditation, I think, is intention. We hear this in this first psalm. He speaks about meditating day and night. What he's calling us into here is the intentional practice of meditation. And this is different to listening to a podcast or reading a Christian book or grabbing that quick devotional thought in the morning as you run out the door or doing a Bible study or even sitting in church and opening the Word. Meditation is you and God, alone, without agenda, in the Word, attending to His presence. What time are you creating for this? We have to give Jesus time. Just like any significant relationship in our life, intimacy takes time. You know, last weekend, the young adults at State Youth Games received this message. Over the Soul Care Conference, a group of us received this message. All worship requires sacrifice of some kind. Spiritual practices require sacrifice. If we're not willing to sacrifice, we won't move beyond where we currently are in our relationship with Jesus. That's just reality. What sacrifice can you make to go deeper with Jesus? He's worth it. We're never going to regret the sacrifice of time that we make to be with Jesus in His Word. So we think about how can we create time. And now the next thing to consider is, do you have a place where you can come away and just be still and quiet and unplug with Jesus in his word. I think it's really helpful to have a place when we're setting a rhythm of a spiritual practice in our life. You know, a favorite chair, the garden, the park, a cafe, the wardrobe, that's been done before, the car. You know, the beauty of meditation is that common places become holy ground when we're with God in his word. So where's your place? And how are you going to engage in the word? You know, there's practical things that we have to think about when we're establishing a spiritual practice in our lives. I'm going to go back to a paper Bible because I find that when I sit down with my phone, I'm just flicking from screen to screen. I get halfway, you know, into something and I go, oh, there's a message that's come through, or, oh, I wonder what's happening there on Facebook. It's not working for me, so I'm going back to a physical paper Bible. You might like to consider unplugging as well as an act of resistance just to all the chaffy stuff that comes upon our eyes and into our heart through our devices. I'm not anti-devices, but a lot of it is just chaffy things, isn't it? I've had plenty of seasons in my life where meditating in the Word, I've had resistance. I haven't done it. It's felt too hard. I haven't known what to do. In one season, I actually bought a new translation because I heard other people talking passionately about Jesus and their time in the Word. I went, I want what they're having. So I went and bought a new translation and I fell in love with Jesus all over again. You know, it's good to refresh and reimagine our spiritual practices. Our time with God is meant to be a delight. This is what Psalm 1 says, those who delight. If we're stuck in dry, stale religious practices, we have to refresh and reimagine our practices. You know, the Pharisees, they were stuck in religious practices that brought absolutely no transformation and inner formation to their lives and hearts. Are your spiritual practices blessing your life? Here's some personal indicators as to whether our practices are blessing our lives. Are you growing in love with Jesus and his word? Are you craving your time with him in the scriptures? Are you growing in love for others? Is your heart expanding with things like mercy and grace and compassion because you're becoming more like Jesus? Are you living as a dearly loved person, as you navigate your life and relationships? Are you growing in freedom? Are you experiencing more love and joy and peace? These are all the fruit of the Spirit as we spend time in the Word. Jesus keeps things pretty simple. He says, everything comes down to this: love God and love others. This is what will increase in our lives as we spend time with God in the Word. This is how we know that our spiritual practices are blessing our lives. If this is not your experience, then it's time to refresh and reimagine the time that you're spending with God. You know, there are many ways that we can meditate with God in his Word. This is what I do know for sure. This is what I'm going to guarantee you this morning. God will meet you in the pages of Scripture when you create space to be present with him, however that looks for you in your life. Rob Reimer at the Soul Care Conference that we've just been at, he says this. He says, every time you pick up the Bible, you are one Holy Spirit breath away from a fresh encounter with the living God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Opening the Word is a very exciting anticipation if we actually really believed that the living God was going to meet with us in the pages. Lectio Divina is an ancient meditation practice that saints throughout the centuries have engaged this practice to be in the Word. So I'm going to offer this today as one expression of meditation just to help us find a rhythm in our own lives. Lectio Divina follows just these four stages: reading, meditation, prayer, and contemplation. And these are really just a loose guide just to help us settle into our time of meditation with God in the Word. It starts with reading. We've got to get into the Bible if we're going to meditate in the Word. And reading, meditation is slow, reflective reading of Scripture. It's not reading for information or reading to just get through. It's slow and reflective. So I like to settle in my meditation times just into one book at a time and just slowly read it over time. Lectio is rooted in the belief that the Holy Spirit brings deep inner formation as the Word comes alive in us. Every time we open the Bible, we're one Holy Spirit breath away from an encounter with the living God. So meditation is reading for relationship. It's anticipating God is waiting for you in the pages. So we don't rush this reading. We settle into a small selection of verses that you've chosen, either from one of the letters or one of the gospel stories or a psalm, whatever you've chosen. Just settle into a small section and then repeat the reading of these verses. Maybe you'd like to even go into another translation, just get a bit of a broader experience of what these verses might be saying. And then wait for God to set the agenda. I'm here, Lord. I'm waiting for you. And then we go into meditation. Something powerful happens when we're willing to pay attention to our inner dynamics as we're reading Scripture. That's when something powerful happens. What's coming into your awareness as you're reading that passage of Scripture? Is there a word or a phrase that is grabbing your attention? Just pause on this. You don't have to get to the next verse. Stop. Something's grabbing your attention. Is something stirring within you as you read? Is there an emotion that's coming up? Is there a memory, a situation, a person, a conviction? Just give this some space, because remember, God is setting the agenda. What are you thinking and feeling about this Scripture? Is there a wrestle in you? Are you uncomfortable with it? Is there a question? Is there some hope? Is there a promise? You know, in these moments when something is tugging at you, this is when God is coming near. So we have to pause and give this time. Have conversation with Father, Son, and Spirit as these things are coming to mind. What do you want me to receive in this moment, Lord? How does this connect with my life and my relationships, the things going on at the moment? I had a moment like this just in January this year that I will never forget. I was reading one of the gospel stories where Jesus speaks a word over someone's life, and it is so. It happens in their life. And it kind of stops me in my tracks because I'm in a difficult situation. I've got some pain in a relationship, and I want this word over that situation. So I stop in my tracks. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, is this word for me too? Can I have this word as my hope? And I'm like, if this is not for me, just take it out of my mind. But if I can have it, please let me have it, Lord. And the strong sense from Jesus in that moment is that this is for you. That's why I've brought you here today. I am declaring this word over that hard situation. You believe it. It will be so. And it has literally transformed my year this year from fear to hope. You know, it was a defining moment in January where I took an old scripture, an old moment, and the Holy Spirit said, that's for you. Take it, believe it, rest in it. You know, this is when the word moves from our heads into our heart. This is the word integrating into our lives. This is what meditation is. Then prayer. Meditation is always prayerful. As we're in the word, God's talking to us, we're talking to God. So just lift up prayers as they come through the reading. Sometimes we'll be overwhelmed by praise and thanksgiving. Just tell God how thankful you are. Other times we'll be led into confession and repentance. You know, as I've been sitting in Psalm 1 this week, I was confronted by that word chaff. I'm like, Lord, there's chaffy things in my life. Lord, I'm sorry. I want to be the tree. I want to be the tree. This is how you engage with God in Scripture. This is the freedom that we have. What stirs within you, just pray it up. As people and circumstances come to mind, just lift them up. This is God setting the agenda, and we're just responding to Him as we attend to His presence. Then contemplation. Rest in what you've experienced with God. Absorb the moment. Don't rush off to the next thing or get into the work of the day if you have space. The living God has just met with you. Some of us in the room like to journal. This is your time. Just journal it down. I often don't journal in that moment. That's when I do get out my phone and just write a quick note so I remember to go back to it. You've had an encounter with the living God that you do not want to forget. Then resolve to carry whatever you've experienced in your time in the Word. Resolve to carry that thought or that word or that impression or that verse or that promise. Resolve to carry it with you through the day as you go. Let it repeat and reinforce over and over in your mind and heart. You know, these moments of meditation, they form our redemptive journey with God. These moments are the very precious and powerful moments that increase our faith in the living God, that give us a desire to keep going back for more and more in time with Him in the Word. Reading, meditation, prayer, contemplation. There's just a loose guide, Lectio Divina, take it, leave it. This is a loose guide for attending to God's presence in the Word. Meditation is a spiritual practice. There's that word, practice. And like any practice, we strengthen as we keep going. That's how we get stronger. We keep going. So start by meditating as you can. This lady at the Soul Care Conference the other day, she's going to start this week just by opening up her scriptures as she drinks a cup of tea. That might take, 15 minutes? She's starting as she can. Start as you can and trust that the practice of meditation that centuries worth of saints have practiced might find a place in your life too. You know, Jesus was always taking himself away to quiet places to be with the Father. Everything he did and said was an outworking of his meditation time. So as you keep going from wherever you're at now, if you're starting out fresh or you've been meditating in the Word for a long time, as you keep going, intentionally sacrificing time to be with God, one day you might just realize that somewhere along the line, meditation has become your lifeline. It's become your essential and it's become the delight of your life. Do you remember when Jesus meets the woman at the well? She's tried to fill all those deep longings of her soul with all kinds of chaffy things. But Jesus is waiting for her. He's waiting for her there and he says to her, I am the living water. Whoever drinks from me will never be thirsty again. This is meditation, the living water, Jesus. Some of us are trying to live off empty. Some of us are just trying to make do with a casual kind of secondhand connection with God. Jesus is waiting for you in the pages of Scripture. So please, 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 you know, the family that I love, let's not miss the greatest invitation that you've ever been given, far beyond morning tea with the Prime Minister. This is the best invitation. So let me pray over us. Let me declare, if that's okay, these words over us. You receive it as you would like. Blessed are you. Your delight is in the law of the Lord, and you meditate on his law day and night. You are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever you do will prosper in Jesus' name. And I'm going to say, amen. Let it be so. Bless you guys.